Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Bringing you the latest research, tools, and common sense tips you need to get and stay healthy. It's Talk Healthy Today. Here's Dr. Jeffrey Burke.
Dr. James LaValle will join me today with easy ways to prevent and possibly even reverse atherosclerosis. From picking the right foods to adopting a healthy exercise program, he'll also talk about some other lifestyle changes that can have a positive impact on blood pressure, including targeted nutrients such as aged garlic extract and coenzyme Q10 that studies show can help prevent plaque formation that causes arteries to become narrowed and stiff. There's a lot of information out there today, but having the availability of learning and chatting about these and then adopting some of these wonderful individual little changes, the motivation will get you going and get you going in a healthier direction. Hey, James, you know, we talk a lot about these things all the time, and they're also issues that people hear about, but a lot of people don't gravitate toward the changes sometimes until they're absolutely forced.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest issues that we have is that, you know, a lot of times people try to bite off more than they can actually achieve. And there's different people, you know, like I'm the kind of person that if you give me the whole plan, I'm going to do better than if I do incremental change. So we've got, there's two kinds of folks out there. There's two that want to just, that are, you know, kind of almost Spartan-like, and that's kind of what my attitude is when I need to change something, just give me the plan, I'm laying it out, and I'll get it done. But for a lot of people, it's incremental change. And I think it's one of the biggest things that plague us is that people hear things that they should try to do, and then they try to do too many changes in their lifestyle at one time, and they fail. And then once you fail, you don't want to be reminded of the fact that you failed.
Very true.
So, yeah, you know, so you're kind of like, well, I don't really want to try that again. I've already tried that. It doesn't work. Gee, I'm doomed to just feel the way I feel. And so I think but what's interesting is if you can begin to create incremental change for folks. You know, simple example. I'm going to drink 8 glasses of water each day. So meaning I'm going to hydrate myself. That's a big challenge for people.
Yes, it
is. A lot of people, that's really tough.
You know, and, you know, sometimes I have to break it down a little bit for them because I get this all the time. I always have water with me. And I'm like, okay, how much of it do you drink? And they're like, well, you know, sometimes people have trouble keeping track. I came up with this idea, you know, a while back where I had people get themselves a 64-ounce bottle container of water and they have to fill it up and it needs to be empty by bedtime. And you know what happens, Jim, after a short period of time? It starts getting emptier earlier in the day. And then they're adding more to it because it just starts to be something that becomes more of a routine. And I think we're just out of those good routines, so they feel awkward when we start them, even though we know in our heart that we should be doing it.
Yeah, I think that's right on. And I think, you know, it's, you know, and I'll tell you the other one that happens. You know, with the whole thing of the, you know, the Fitbit, you know, sensation that's taken place, right? You'd think as many places you can buy a Fitbit now that everybody would be thin, right? Mm-hmm. But the same thing happens is that you buy a Fitbit and everybody talks about the 10,000 steps a day, right?
Right.
And we all know taking 10,000 steps a day is a great idea. But does that mean taking 4,000 steps a day is a failure?
Yeah.
it just means you have to build, right? And honestly, for people out there that are listening, doing something is definitely better than doing nothing, and you build on your habits, whether it's drinking water or deciding to exercise. I know that a lot of times with folks, I'll even tell them, look, I just want you to get up and move for 10 minutes, 2 or 3 times a day. Just get up and move. If you're sitting there at the computer, you have a desk job, get up, move around, reacclimate yourself. If you can have a standing desk and you really think you like that, have a standing desk if your work, you know, is, you know, fits towards that. You know, and at the same time, everybody says nobody should sit. Well, guess what? Some people may have lower back problems. If they stand all day, they're hurting. So, you know, it's an understanding of what's right for me and then starting to apply it in their daily lives. And so, you know, start with something. You know, I love, the different tracking devices, because even if it's not 100% accurate, like the sleep devices, I think, are a little bit suspect, but it gets people thinking about, hey, I need to do better at my sleep. I need to take a few more steps. I may not be able to make 10,000, but you know what? I'm going to shoot really hard. I see consistently I made 4,000 this last month. I'm going to figure a way to get that 5,000 in there. It's kind of like refilling that water bottle, right?
Mm-hmm.
You kind of start to gain this understanding of the value of these basic lifestyle pieces that are needed when it comes to, you know, reducing risks of heart disease, cancer, diabetes, all these types of things.
See, I think my personal feeling is, and this is my weird philosophy, but I feel that because we become a nation of symptomatic fixes, in our mind, we have either been fed or drank the Kool-Aid or whatever we did or convinced or watched enough commercials or read enough crazy jaded articles that we should demand something that makes a symptom go away in a short period of time. So we gravitate toward drugstores looking for multi-symptom relief products, and we read all the front labels until we find something that has most of the things that we have problems with, and then we try to use that to make them go away. But then we also convince ourselves that if the symptom is gone, then the problem is gone as well. And we're good with that because we're not annoyed anymore. So I think these Fitbits have really just also fit into the, we have to see visible signs of things, either a symptom that goes away, or we need to see a number on there because we need to see proof that we're doing something. So we have to literally be convinced to do anything in our life. And if you can't convince me to get healthy, I can't do it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I think we even get guilty of it, even on the natural.
Oh, it's true.
Like when you hear about prevention or complementary care, or you can become every bit as guilty of saying, "Well, here's a natural ibuprofen," instead of saying, "Why are you inflamed? What are the processes going on? What are the foods that you're eating? How are you sleeping? How are you responding to stress? Are you, do you have any environmental burden? What's your hormone profile like?" Instead of really looking deeply and saying, "I need to be in charge of my health," we end up, to your point, looking for, "Man, how do I get over? My knee really hurts. Hey, I don't have the energy I used to have. I wonder how much caffeine I can take in a day and not feel bad."
Wow.
Right? Because that's what people do.
Very true.
And it's so important for people. I mean, I see it all the time. People drink 3, 4, or 5 of these energy drinks, and they eat caffeinated gum. Then they have caffeinated jelly beans. And then there's, it's caffeine, caffeine, caffeine. And so the point being is that why are you really feeling the way you feel? And I think we're just now as a culture starting to wake up to do those things. However, I would say that the marketing side of things still blurs the lines of what's good for you or not. Walk into a grocery store, right? And now you can see full end caps of dedicated juice drinks, mm-hmm. right? Pressed juice, kombucha, you name it. Well, just because it has a picture of a cornucopia on the label and it says, "Super healthy green protein drink nutrient blend," right? That doesn't mean when you look at if you look at the label that it actually is good for you. And I think we have these, we have a society where you just want to be able to buy that instant gratification snippet, to your point. And it trickles down all the way to the foods that we get. Right? If you remember Snackwells, right?
Oh,
remember Snackwells? What a name.
You're reading my mind. I was just going to say that. I got to tell you the funniest story. I was at a grocery store, and I had been doing radio shows, and we were talking about this no-fat, crazy craze that was going on. And I was at a grocery store, and there were 100 people there with empty shopping carts waiting for the Snackwell trucks to get there. And they unloaded them, and people were filling their carts that they didn't even get into the store. People were just filling their carts. And I asked this lady, I said, "What are you doing?" She goes, "Well, don't you understand?" She goes, "These have no fat." I said, do you have any other health problems? She goes, well, I'm diabetic, but that doesn't matter. These are no fat. We can have all we want. And I was just like, oh, my goodness. And the look in their eyes were just like, it was just, they were just overjoyed to get these things. And obviously, you know, things didn't last long and people got smart because everybody started getting bigger and fatter from having no fat. But oh, my goodness, I'll never forget that day. I mean, I actually wrote it in my journal and every once in a while I look back at it and relive it again. And oh, my goodness.
Oh, there! I mean, it was so funny when they came on the market, right? You know, and it's just that it's what a great name. Well, I mean, look, not that I'm going to name out too many things, but how about Nutri-Grain?
Yeah,
you know, like oh, that's really good for me. How about if I pile in a bunch of grains with some jelly on it for my breakfast so that my blood sugar can crash? And I can spike my insulin because your body makes, you know, as you know, but your body makes insulin in response to a glucose load, and that insulin triggers an inflammatory response when you produce too much of it. And so I kind of forever am amazed where marketing triumphs common sense, and I'm still waiting for a good marketer to sell broccoli and cauliflower and Brussels sprouts to people. I can't, you know, I just haven't seen that advertisement yet, right? But I sure do see a lot of advertisements for, you know, for the next cupcake, the next donut, the next dessert. And because we're a nation of very stressed out and we're, you know, underslept, right? So people don't sleep enough. We have too much stress going on. We're going to look at that cupcake and say, I love you. Mm-hmm. I want to have a cupcake. And not only do I want to have a cupcake, I'm going to buy three more in case I want to eat one on the way home. And this is a core issue because there's miscommunication in advertising. There's these primal cravings that are going on because people are under high stress, so they're stress eating. And I would say that, you know, statistics would show that that's right. And then there's just this, you know, lack of knowledge. Like you said, people want immediacy. My knee hurts. I want the anti-knee pill,
mm-hmm.
right? My head hurts. Give me the anti-head pill.
Yep.
You know, that is where people start to run into trouble on not developing a lifestyle that, you know, ends up promoting longevity, vitality, right? And really feeling more whole. Because that's really, in the end, you know, what, you know, the lady in line for the snack well, she's not thinking clearly. There's no way that, you know, when eating that kind of food over and over again, you know, it's that classic thing. People that are trying to lose weight, they end up gaining weight. They go back to try to lose weight. They end up gaining weight back after they lose it because they can't sustain a lifestyle.
Remember to stay up to date on each and every show by liking our Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram. Make sure you do that. And of course, let us know what your favorite healthy habit is. Then listen in. You might just hear it mentioned on the show. For more information on understanding atherosclerosis and other health and wellness topics, check out my favorite magazine, Better Nutrition, at your local health food store. It's packed with well-researched articles, recipes, and tips. It's an indispensable resource for healthy living. Pick up your copy today. And remind some great books you want to put into your library. Your Blood Never Lies, Cracking the Metabolic Code, and Nutritional Cost of Drugs. Three great books for your library. And also a couple good websites that, you know, we are looking for information. So let's go places where we can get good information. It's www.metabolic.com and www.myguestnamejimlaval.com. Take the time to get that information. We can never have enough great information. We just need to make sure we're getting the good information and we're not getting misinformation. Jim, question. Mediterranean diet, thumbs up, thumbs down?
If you're in Greece or Italy and walking the hills and collecting your food every day, thumbs up. If you're in the U.S. and you're driving to your mailbox, you probably need to be lower carb than what you would do in a Mediterranean diet. So I think it really depends on what I'm big on is identifying what is the, like, everybody needs to eat plant food, everybody needs lean protein, and everybody needs healthy fats. What really is the variable? How much starch can you take in without gaining weight? Because in the end, starch converts to sugar, sugar goes into the bloodstream, and when sugar's going into the bloodstream and it starts to elevate, you trigger inflammation, you trigger the storage of weight. So for me, it's all about figuring out for a person, is that diet going to be good or not? Some people it will, but yet other people, they may gain weight on it.
Now, nutrients, obviously, aged garlic extract, top of the heap. How do you feel about using things like coenzyme Q10? And of course, a good multiple vitamin. You know, whole food vitamins are amazing today. Got to have a foundation. But we want to add to it because, you know, we put our body through a lot of torment on a regular basis. And our body needs a little bit more than it used to because of the way we live.
Oh, I think without a doubt, I think food doesn't have the quality that it used to have. I think taking, a good multivitamin, making sure maybe for people that don't eat fish that they get some omega-3 fatty acids and omega-9 fatty acids, and then CoQ10, fantastic for heart health. And I'll tell you the other one is getting enough minerals in, because a lot of times when you take a multi, it just doesn't have enough minerals. And the most important mineral, it isn't calcium, guys. I mean, we've been screaming about calcium forever. It's actually magnesium when you look at the issues that are surrounding the magnesium status for Americans. And I think that starts there. And then I think there's some very elegant, interesting agents that people can reach for out of the natural therapy side, depending on what their needs are.
You know, I think the other thing is, you know, many of us have been in the industry a very long time. And, you know, and I think way back to the time when I was a kid, and I've mentioned this on hundreds of shows, you know, there was a time when we were younger and we figured that most of these health problems were only the geriatric old age part of our family, the older group, the ones sitting at the picnic table under the tree at the family reunion, you know, but not anymore. That wall has come down and these have trickled down. And, you know, I talk to people all the time in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, and early 50s that have these at one time old age health problems. And there are no walls anymore. And, you know, you don't get to wait and put it on the back burner as long as you used to try to do. We have to think about it now.
Oh, without a doubt. I think things are happening earlier and earlier. People are eating, the snack well generation are eating foods that are higher in starch, higher in sugar. The Journal of Sports Medicine just released an article 6 months ago that said the problem of obesity is not lack of exercise, it's the excess intake of starch and sugar. And then, of course, there's things like environmental burden and stress and those things. But the reality is, people were being taught how to eat these type of foods, you know, the comfort foods, the convenience foods at a much earlier age, and therefore they progress to these diseases of aging by the time they're in middle ages. And, you know, people are plaquing their arteries by age 30 now. It's not uncommon to have people having major coronary artery disease in their 40s, you know, especially men. And, oh, you know, by the way, women don't get a get-out-of-jail-free card. No. You know, as soon as women hit menopause, more women die of heart disease than men.
And it's growing, not receding.
Absolutely. The problems continue to grow. And for all the emphasis put on exercise and diet and fitness and eating better and, you know, the great new wonder drugs that are out there, we still struggle with maintaining basic health and vitality. I think people taking things like probiotics is also important because so many people have trouble with their gut. I know I mentioned in another segment, aged garlic extract. I love Kyolic because it addresses the major issues around aging, you know, inflammation, oxidation, you know, the rate of rusting in your body, and blood vessel health. I think those are really important. And then I really try to get everybody to understand, if you're stressed out and you can't get to sleep at night, work at what can I do to improve my sleep. Things like melatonin can be incredible when people have high cortisol because stress inhibits the production of cortisol, of melatonin. So your wake brain can't turn off when your sleep brain is supposed to turn off. These are core concepts to lifestyle that are going to help you to live longer.
You know, so many people say, you know, I get wrapped up in TV and doing what I'm doing, and all of a sudden it's 1-2 o'clock in the morning. And then the next day you're just exhausted. And they really do get in their mind that, well, I'll just go to bed early tonight. It doesn't work that way. It just doesn't.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, really your body is supposed to sleep at night, be up in the day. And when you start to alter the mechanics of your sleep pattern, it affects the circadian rhythm or the hormone pulses in your body. And a lot of and people don't realize that your body has a preset clock of how to release hormones. And when that clock gets off, you increase your risk. And you know, it's evidenced by the fact that people that work night shift have the biggest risk for all-cause mortality.
Do you think we're ever going to get to the point that as a nation, it's just we're all going to wake up one day and it's going to click and we're going to realize that we are sick because of our own hand, our own knife and fork, our own voices, our vices and choices, and those comfort zones that are just so comfortable but yet so unhealthy?
Well, I live by the saying, new ideas don't get accepted, old people die. So I think that, new ideas like what we're talking about, and we've both been advocates for people empowering themselves and making better choices for, you know, decades now. We know we were way ahead of the curve, but we can also see when we look through the lens of change that there is a bigger population of people that are interested, they're engaged. They're wanting to know what to do, but we've got a long way to go yet, you know, until we can get more clearer filters about what are the great habits people should do and then empower them with the tools they need to do it. I think we're in the midst of a huge birth of this, you know, this whole process with the age of technology that's out there now. But it's still, we're not there yet. And I think, you know, it takes time. It takes time to change. Remember, the world was flat, and the first time somebody said the world was round, you know, they got big trouble. So I think the same thing. Snack wells were good for you 30 years ago. Now we know they're not, but we've got more to learn and more to process.
You know, there was a time when we used to think about some of the things that we could do once we reached maybe the same level of ill health that our parents had. And I think the idea of preventive protocols are still really hard for people to think about, because I think a lot of us are still saying to ourselves, that's not going to happen to me. And then when it does happen, you know, then they're like, really? Where'd that come from?
Yeah, and I'll tell you what's interesting is if you look at Chinese medicine, you look at, you know, shamanism, you know, kind of any of the traditional cultures like Ayurvedic medicine, the doctors that kept you well were the best doctors. So prevention was a part of our traditional heritage across the globe, keeping you well. When modern medicine came in, it's like, hey, don't worry about staying well. If you get sick, we're going to give you a pill, and then you'll be less sick. But what they didn't factor in, you wouldn't be back to being well. You would be managed. So there still goes back to this personal responsibility of it's my job to be more well. I am the steward of my body. I need to make decisions that will promote my health. And you know what? People should have the right to say, I don't want to do it. But yep. At the same time, they should also be empowered with the knowledge that they should know how to do it if they choose to.
You know, I was chatting with some people the other day, and we were just kind of talking, and they were saying, you know, I just need to get myself healthy again. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, your clothes are dirty, you wash them. They said, yes. I said, your dishes are dirty, you wash them. They said, yes. I said, if your tires on your car are low, you fill them up. They said, sure. And I said, if you're out of gas, what do? He goes, I get more gas. I said, if you're hungry, what do? He goes, I eat. I said, so why wouldn't you want to do the things that you should be doing already to keep yourself healthy? Because most of us are already at that door when we need to make a fix. And all of them just kind of looked at me like the deer in the headlights. And I just sat there for a minute. And I'm like, okay, where is this going? And then all of a sudden, all three of them just kind of responded. They were just like, I never thought of it like that. It's my job. I said, yes, it's your job. Interesting,
yeah,
huh?
Without a doubt. No, that's the way you got to look at it. I mean, that's exactly it. Because one thing's for sure, that new cell phone somebody wants to look at, that new car that they want to buy, they're not going to have to worry about it if they're sick. They end up, you know, succumbing to a heart attack. You know, you don't get to enjoy your life if you don't have good health. And I've seen it over and over and over again. We get caught up in everything other than what our most precious asset is. And that's our health and our vitality. You know, when you're vital, the world looks different. When you have gratitude and you say thank you and you feel good about things, it emanates health from somebody. And when you feel badly and you are under stress and maybe you're agitated, doesn't reflect so good. And so I think it's important for people to, you know, just understand this is probably the single biggest job you have is working on your health.
And I think the big thing we have to remember is that it does take work. You know, and remember, we talked a lot today about atherosclerosis. We talked about diet. We talked about supplementation, exercise, you know, good information that you can use into your everyday routine. And you know what, Jim, I think it just comes down to the bottom line. It's going to take some work. Baby steps will still get you there. But I mean, you know, I saw a picture on Facebook the other day, and it was a guy really jogging, like really slow. And he said, I may be moving slow, but I'm moving more than you sitting on your couch. So it made a lot of sense.
That's exactly it. And like I said, people get overwhelmed. You know, do 10 minutes twice a day. If you can't do a full half hour walk, do 10 minutes twice a day. Do 5 minutes three times a day. Get out there, start moving, get on a good multi, get a fish oil, learn how to eat more plant food, you know, try to buy organic. I think organic is a better way to go. Get some grass-fed beef, get some free-range chicken, buy higher qualities of food, and think about some selective supplements. Like I know I've mentioned before, you know, kyolic aged garlic is great. Thinking about probiotics, magnesium, maybe some CoQ10. You know, take some things that apply to you, help it to change your life. And, you know, move forward, you know, get that first step. You know, the biggest thing is getting that inertia to get moving.
Remember, we talked about a lot of things today, but there's a lot of things to look at, and you don't have to do every single one of them in one day. Baby steps can bring monumental changes to your health. My thanks to my wonderful guest, Dr. James LaValle. I'm Dr. Jeffrey Burke, and this is the Talk Healthy Today show on Radio MD. Remember to pick up your Better Nutrition magazine at fine health food stores everywhere. And for more information on this and all of my segments, remember to go to my radio show page at radiomd.com. Look for the Talk Healthy Today show page and look for the on-demand podcast of the show at radiomd.com. I thank you all for listening. Stay well.